Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55, reading verses 1 through 5. Hey, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Even if you have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on something that is not bread? Why do you waste your labor on something that does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Satisfy your appetite with rich food. Turn your ear toward me and come to me. Listen so that you may continue to live. Yes, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the faithful mercies promised to David. Look, I appointed him as a witness for peoples, a leader and commander of peoples. Look, you will call out to a nation you do not know, and a nation that does not know you will run to you on account of the Lord your God, because of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is our text. Dear people of God, the Lord offers you salvation for no money. And that means that not only do we not have to buy our way into heaven, it also means that a person cannot buy their way into heaven. No amount of donations given to the church or to charitable causes gives anyone a better standing in front of the Lord. The Lord is not impressed with your offerings. He does not give good luck to those who give more. He does not give favorable weather to the one who gives a little extra on the Sunday before their wedding. Money does not have a part in salvation and the Lord's favor. But that does not mean that the Lord is uninterested in how you use your money. The Lord has watched people do really stupid things with their money over the thousands of years that we have existed on this earth. The Lord has watched people give their money away to charlatans who have promised them heaven on earth. The Lord has watched people buy things that promise them a few extra years on this globe. And he says, why do you spend money on something that is not bread? Why do you waste your labor on something that does not satisfy? Cotton candy is delicious, but it has no nutritional value. All it does is rot teeth and give a person an upset stomach. And yet, they sell a lot of cotton candy at the fair. And people buy a lot of cotton candy things in this world. Unnecessary, extravagant things that they don't need and are not good for them. In their cars and homes and their toys. And the Father in heaven sits and he looks at people do this and he wonders, what's wrong with you? Why do you spend so much time and energy and money on things that maybe will last a couple of years? And you are so unconcerned with your soul that will last forever. But people will do and buy anything as long as it takes their mind off of their own death and judgment. As long as it distracts them from thinking about what's going to happen in the hereafter. Now the Lord doesn't need your money. The Lord doesn't want your stuff. The Lord does not expect you to give away everything and go live in a cave. What the Heavenly Father wants is you. He wants you to be with him both now and forever. See, it doesn't matter to him. There in heaven, You will see him face to face. Here on earth, you can only see him through his word and sacrament. And that's where he wants you to be. He wants you to be in his word. He wants you to be in his church, enjoying his supper for no cost. God's word and his salvation, his supper and his presence are all free. He wants you to have them. Now, when I go to my father's house, I barely get in the door and there's a Budweiser in my hand. Come on in, drink up, you look thirsty. I got there in an air-conditioned car that has many, many cup holders. I did not pull a buggy to get to his house. And yet, as soon as I'm there, out comes the cheese and sausage. You look famished, eat, eat, he says. Not once have I received a bill after that snack. And not once have I offered to pay. Money doesn't enter into it. Of course it doesn't. It's my Father. So also with your Heavenly Father. The Lord does not expect you to pay for salvation. You couldn't if you tried, and he would be insulted if you tried. The Lord just wants you with him. The Lord wants you in his church. He wants you in his word, and so he gives you salvation at no cost. Now that salvation was provided to you through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mercy promised to David. Jesus is the witness for the peoples. Jesus is the leader and commander of people. Jesus is the one that nations run to. Jesus is the Savior who has provided this gift of salvation for you. There's an old saying. It says, salvation is free, but it wasn't cheap. Salvation cost you nothing, but it cost God everything. It cost him his only beloved Son. And it cost Jesus his holy precious blood. Jesus had to pay for your soul with his soul. Jesus had to endure the total pangs of hell so that you never have to taste one of them. The blood of God was shed to win your salvation. Now, if we had a vial of the blood of God that gave eternal salvation here today, what could we get for it on eBay? Is it fair to say that a vial of the blood of God would be priceless, truly priceless, beyond putting a price on, more expensive than an NFL franchise? Well, the Romans let the blood of God spill out on the ground. They could not see that it was purchasing the forgiveness of all sins. Isaiah says the same thing. Nations, people who since Noah's time had no inclination to worship the true God. They had zero desire to convert to Judaism. And yet these nations would come running to Jesus. And that's really you. You have seen the glory and the shame of the crucified and risen Christ. And by the Holy Spirit's power, you have come to believe in him as your Savior, your God, your leader, your Christ. And that's amazing. For Jesus came to save sinners, of which I am the worst. And he did it. What now? What should we do now? Without payment from us, the Lord has given us free salvation. He's given us the favor of God. He's given us eternal life in his presence, both in this world and in the glorious one to come. But what should we do now? Let's worship him, how about? Let's worship him with our voices. Let's worship him with our time spent in his word and in his church. Let's worship him with our prayers at every meal and every morning and every evening. Let's worship him with our attitudes and how we treat those around us. Let's worship him with our kindness shown to our neighbors and to strangers. And let's worship the Lord by showing the world how much we have been forgiven by forgiving everyone else. And let's worship the Lord with our money. This is where money enters the picture. Salvation does not require any money. Salvation is a free gift from God. Money comes into the situation when we start talking about our thanks, our appreciation, our response to God for what he has already done for us. See, how you use your money reveals your heart. What do you love? If you love bowling, I bet you spend a fair amount of money on bowling shoes and balls and on lane rental. If you love boating, well, you probably don't have much money because all the money goes into the boat. I spend my money on schooling for my sons. On tuition, on books, on cars to get to school, on insurance to protect those cars, money on shoes and clothing, not to mention computers and phones and sports equipment. That's where my heart and my wife's heart is at. But how does the Lord fit into my heart and into my budget? I know that I don't have to buy access to God. He is the one who saved me. He reached out and pulled me out of the pit. He is the one who has blessed me already. He gave me my sons. He is the one who protects them on the road and at school. The Lord has already been so good to me. And so when it comes to my offerings and my gifts to the Lord, they aren't about the future. They aren't about future blessings and protection. That's already promised in the Word of God. No, my offerings are about the past. They're about thanksgiving. They're about acknowledging that the Lord is God. And he's my God. And he's my Savior. And I am his beloved child. We worship the Lord. We thank the Lord. One of my favorite sights in the world is when I watch our families come to church here. Very often the man of the family will be leading his family as they walk across the parking lot, and he will have his offering envelope in his shirt pocket. That says something. It says that you are thankful for your family. It says that you are thankful for their salvation. We worship God. We thank him. We glorify him. And then we pool our money here. And we use it to send missionaries out into the world to tell other people how good the Lord has been to them in winning them the forgiveness of their sins also. And we use some of that money here to ensure that the gospel is proclaimed here from our little corner of the world. See, we don't buy God's love and favor and salvation. You already have that. Instead, give to the Lord in the same manner as he has given to you. If the Lord has given you little, then give him little. He knows how much you can afford. But if the Lord has been good and more than generous to you, well, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.